Good morning. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and we're going to be talking to a couple of interesting gentlemen today about a number of issues. I want to say off the top that there's going to be a visit to Hamilton in Toronto by American writer, progressive, Dan Kovalik, and he has written a very timely book, particularly in light of the interview we're going to be doing later on. It's Syria, Anatomy of Regime Change. And Dan will be here at, as a matter of fact, at a different book list at on December the 9th. And that's at 779 Bathurst. It'll be at 6:30. So you should circle the date. By the way, the book has a foreword by Oliver Stone, and Dan's co-author is Jeremy Kuzmarov. And incidentally, we expect to be speaking to the co-author as well for the show. It's an important matter because I think the world has been rather startled by the how quickly people who were described as evil and terrible and needed to be bombed or needed to be eliminated and turn into saints and statesmen and just regular fellows, and we get to know all how kind and nice they were. And that's in the case of Syria. I don't think people have recovered yet from the shock. Actually, we were supposed to think that Al-Qaeda was terrible and needed to be destroyed and all that until we decided that they should actually be running Syria and that they should visit the White House and Canada should warm up to them and all that. So this book, Syria, Anatomy of Regime Change, is very apropos, and I'm sure Mr. Kovalik, who's traveled in the region extensively and has actually been there, he was there sort of in the transition period. And so for those who have a lot of questions, they should come to the event. And he will also be in Hamilton. Dan Kovalik will be in Hamilton December the 8th at the New Vision United Church, that's 24 Main Street West, and that would be at 7 o'clock. I'm good. And if you want more details, you can go to Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. Just put that, Google that, as they say. Is that still contemporary? We still say Google that. So I think we do. So Google that. And again, that's Hamilton, December the 8th. So it's December 8th in Hamilton, December the 9th in Toronto, Hamilton at the New Vision United Church, 7 p.m. in Toronto on the 9th at 779 Bathurst, a different book list. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT, and I want to thank everybody who has supported the station and supported the show. We really appreciated it, and did I put that in the past tense? We do appreciate, and maybe during the show I'll see if we can find out what our numbers are, but I know we did very, very well, and that's because this is the sound of your city, and it's your station, and so I know you all got behind us, so we do appreciate it, and a little reminder, you can actually continue to support the show at CIT.fm, donate throughout November, and or any other time you choose. There's the big story, to my mind, going on before we get to our guest. The one that is most troubling, has already turned quite ugly, and is not being treated as a front page story here yet, because I guess the media have not yet got the party line and not sure how they're supposed to handle this. But the Prime Minister of Japan, who here they're glorifying, they're giving her a label already. She's supposed to be the Margaret Thatcher of Japan. And they mean that as a compliment, by the way. So the Prime Minister of Japan wanted to show that she's going to be setting kind of a sharper, newer course for her country. So she was talking about political matters, international affairs, and she raised the subject of Taiwan. And she phrased it in a way that was brand new. Because she said that if there was a problem, if there was violence, I guess, she said across the strait, the Taiwan Strait, between the China and its province of Taiwan, that this would be, she didn't use the word existential, something similar. She said that Japan would have to regard this as something in endangering our security and would change our military profile or the way we would handle it. And she suggested that Japan would get involved, to put it bluntly. By opening her mouth, she did get involved. This should have been something you wouldn't say, and if you did say it, you would immediately correct yourself. She did not do that. And China has responded sharply, as you would expect, as they should, very reasonable. And they have said they're actually going to take this matter, if I understand it right, they're going to take the matter to the United Nations. And so just to show how bad we can, and the problems we can have in Canada, because you know, we just had Mr. Carney finally, I think, had a conversation or came to with the Chinese leadership, and it was, and we're talking about trade with China because our great problem is the domination, hegemony, dictation from Washington. That's our problem. If you want to say we're a sovereign country, if you want to say we're just a toady, then we don't have a problem because all you have to do is wait for instructions. But it's been agreed across the board, really, amongst commentators on the fight over the tariffs and trade and the possibility of Canada being able to cope with the way the board has been set by Trump. We need broader trade. For example, also today's headlines are saying that Canada has rather hastily begun to repair relations with India. That's all to the good. But the same is going on with China. And basically the sound has been rather positive. And it's an essential direction to go. However, the headlines also are, and the coverage of the Japanese challenge intervention on this issue of Taiwan could knock all that in a cocked hat in 2 minutes. And there's really no question that Canada pegs its policy on an alliance, a deep alliance. Japan is regarded in modern history as a Western country and as very tight with the U.S. particularly. That partly is because the U.S. has military bases still in Japan. They never left Japan. They stayed. And from there, there's been havoc in the region, particularly in Korea, with the promise that probably there'll be more. So this sort of assumed closeness can create a problem if unless it's addressed properly. And so far it's not. It's been misrepresented. I'm looking at a Globe headline that says, China escalates spat with Japan. It's not, well, spat's the wrong word, and escalates the wrong word because the escalation started with the new Iron Lady of Japan. Part of what she's saying, by the way, understand, is that Japan, behind that remark is the idea of Japanese militarism, of changing the constitution that ended the war, World War II. Japan's developed what is called a pacifist, as they were supposed to do. They had, after all, been Hitler's primary ally, and they had attacked their neighbors and violently and crushed them. And they attempted to become, through raw militarism and fascist ideology, the dominant power. And China fought them longer, was harder than anyone in the region. They occupied China, or attempted to, and there was fighting for, I think, at least, I think it was 10, 11 years. It doesn't matter how precise we are. It was a long, bloody, costly war for China. And by the way, none of our allies intervened to help China. They were on their own. And I would urge you to look that up. Eventually, Japan was defeated, and they agreed that they would not engage further in militarism, much to the relief of their Asian neighbors. So here we are with a prime minister who is beginning to talk recklessly. And in Canada, it has already begun in its language, at least in our media, want to put the problem to as though it somehow it belongs to China. It does not. It's Japan is at really at the bidding of Washington, by the way, Washington, Ottawa. They all want Japan to assert itself so as to make problems. And let's just say a few things here. The Globe coverage is probably typical and standard, you could say, lying. They speak of Taiwan. They keep saying Taiwan, which they say is a self-governing, democratic, blah, blah. Well, the Globe doesn't tell its readers that Taiwan is part of China, and that Canada, along with the U.S. and others, assured the world that they believed that there's only one China, and that is governed from Beijing. They do not mention that the real name of Taiwan is the Republic of China. I don't know, why doesn't the Globe Star, New York Times, CBC remind us the name of the country, the territory that they gave it, is Republic of China and not Taiwan, Republic of China, and that Washington, Ottawa, London, Paris, all called mainland China the Republic of China, when the Republic of China was only a rump government led by Chiang Kai-shek, which they had helped him move his army, or what remained of it, to the Chinese island of Taiwan, and he was sitting on Taiwan while the mainland had been conquered by the People's Liberation Army and had become the Democratic People's Republic of China. I'm going to go with that. So the mainland government was alleged, according to Washington, was ruled from Taiwan. And Chiang Kai-shek and his political group, Kuomintang, they represented China at the United Nations until the anti-colonial forces, the new countries of the world who were breaking the chains of colonialism and began to attend UN meetings, put forward the motion that there was only one China and it was the People's Republic of China. And so all this time, this place that they're now calling, the self-governed democratic baloney, it was China, according to them. Also, they had another name for it. They called it Formosa. They decided to change that. This has been almost a shell game and a scam, and it should have been called out. Well, we should have been calling it out long ago. But instead, we're playing this little game where we recognize that there's only one China, but at the same time, we egg on people who want to create problems. Instead of helping resolve the matter in a negotiated way, the West, but particularly the United States, has been providing armament and creating havoc there, seeing if they can deny China its own territory. So it's ending up in the United Nations. If it keeps going the direction it's going, there won't be any trade with China. There's going to be big trouble. And there's going to be some matters that the Canadian Navy will not be able to cope with. So we ought to mind our own business. If we say it's one China, stand up and say that. Instead of saying, maybe we could, let's try to redefine the issue. Let's talk about it in a different, no. There's one China. Say it loudly. Say it clear, and say you don't intend to interfere in their internal affairs. And you're going to stop arming people who are challenging that. If they want to challenge it, that's their business. But your giving arms is profoundly interventionist, colonialist, and it'll come to a bad end, by the way.